and myself. So, and it's a very great pleasure to be once again on the first day of the week in the worship. So, really God has been with us and blessed us so much. Like, there are some troublesome times in our lives, but still God made us to come over all those hurdles. So it's really good, and we should be always thankful to God. Today our lesson is about, maybe I can tell you the topic what we are going to discuss, but you might not understand right now, but you will come to know about it way through the lesson. So the topic is about, where do we stand today? As I said, it might not be so much understandful now, but maybe when I go through the lesson, somewhere down near the conclusion, you might come to know about this. So in this life, God has really blessed each and every one of us. And we should always remember the verses from the book of Lamentation. Chapter 3 and verses 22. The book of Lamentation. So, this verse describes about the love what God has shown towards us. We are still alive in this day just because of our Lord's great love. Because of Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. So each and every day in this world, in this life that we are surviving, it's just because of God's love. So in our life, we should remember these verses every now and then, and we should be thankful to God throughout our lifetime. So, today what we are going to discuss, I can give you some few points that we will be discussing through this message. The creation of the world and mankind, how we were created and what are the special features that the human beings have, and what was the relationship between God and the mankind in the initial stages, and what happened to that relationship later, and what is our relationship with God today. Where do we stand today? Okay. Maybe I can quickly go through a lot of things, because there are a lot of points that I will be discussing which we all know. So I might not be going in detail about those things, but there are certain places where I will be going in detail in each verse and verse. So creation of the world and the mankind, we all know, we read it from the book of Genesis chapter 1, that God created the heaven and the earth in the beginning. And later on, throughout that chapter, we read that He created the light, the darkness, the day and the night, the trees, plants, suns, stars, moon, sea creatures, birds, animals. And finally, He created mankind, the human beings, on His own image. We read it in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 until 28, of how God created the man. And what all the blessings that God gave to man. God blessed the mankind and said to them to rule all over the world. So the world is open to you. You can rule over everything. Everything is under you. So we can read some more verses in the book of Psalms. Chapter 8. Verses 5 until 8. Maybe I can read it for you. Psalms. Chapter 8. Verses 5 until 8. It says, You made Him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned Him with glory and honor. You made Him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under His feet, all the flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. So these verses describes the authority of mankind on this world, because God has blessed the mankind and He has given control over everything. He has made him little lower than the heavenly bodies. So like the saints, like the angels, we are little lower than the angels. But then later on, we all know what happened in the Garden of Eden, what Adam and Eve did, and what was the consequences of it. So after Adam and Eve left the garden, later on, after so many years, the generation of the people increased more and more. There were so many people in this world. But one thing to realize is, not many of those people wanted to stay with God. Most of the people slowly moved away from God and His righteous ways. We also read it from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 and verses 29. It says, God made mankind upright. He made mankind on His own image. Like God, He wanted the mankind to be. But men have gone in search of many schemes and inventions which did not make God happy. So that is how the mankind became. And even we can read from the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. It says, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man in the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. God felt very bad after creating the mankind, because he thought he has created the mankind on his own image, and he wanted the human being to be along with him always. But that didn't happen. They went away from God and they did a lot of mistakes, a lot of sins which didn't please God. But later on we read these verses, and which says God was full of pain. He grieved that he made man in this earth. So what did God decide after that? In the same chapter, chapter 6 verses 7, Lord said, okay, I will wipe mankind whom I created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, and the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. So he decided to clean the earth. So he decided he wanted to destroy the earth, because he didn't like the way the people behaved. He didn't like the way the people obeyed his commandments. So God wanted to destroy the earth. He did it. But except one family which was saved from this destroyment. God completely destroyed the earth with water. But Noah and his family, they obeyed God and they were exempted from this destroyed. So God once again blessed Noah and his family and his children in order to rule the world and increase in number. Like the same way how he blessed Adam and Eve, he blessed Noah and his generation. Rule over the world. Now the world is with you. And then, did the people obey God and did they stay with God after that first event? No. People still wanted to be away from God. They still wanted not to obey to the commandments of God. But after these incidences, we read through a lot of books which says God is always ready to accept His children. He always wants His children to come back. There are so many verses that we will be reading today which describes how much loveful Father we have, the Israelites, how merciful God did they have. But they didn't realize the love what God had towards them. We can read in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verses 32. He gives some examples of how the people are behaving. It says, does a maiden forget her jewelry, or a bride her wedding ornaments? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Still, I can read from the same book, chapter 3, verses 1. If a man divorces his wife and she leaves him and marries another man, should he return to her again? Would not the land be completely defiled? But you have lived as a prostitute with many lovers. Would you now return to me? Declares the Lord. He knows that their children have went far, far away from him, but still he wants them to come back. In the verse, in the same chapter, verses 4. Have you not just called to me, my father, my friend of my youth? Will you always be angry? Will your wrath continue forever? This is how you talk, but you do all the evil you can. They stay with God just with their lips, but their heart doesn't go with them. They always stay away from him. In the same book, verses 19 and 20, I thought you would call me father and not turn away from following me. But like a woman unfaithful to her husband, so you have been unfaithful to me, O house of Israel, declares the Lord. So, after reading these verses, we see how much sinful the Israelites were living in their lives and how much desperately God wanted them to come back and to call him. Father, I am here. I am here to obey your commandments. Tell me what to do. That is what God expected from these people. But they never came back. Later on, then God decided to send his only begotten son to this world because he didn't find any other solution, and he wanted someone to come here and to explain the situation and to explain how merciful and how loving the God is. Sometimes we think that Jesus Christ came for us, but Bible doesn't say so. If you read from the book of Matthew chapter 15 and verses 24, there we see an incident. One of the lady is coming to Jesus Christ asking to pray for his child. But at that moment, Jesus answers that I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus Christ came to this world in order to bring the Israelites back to God. He didn't come for the Gentiles initially. He came in order to save the Israel people. Okay, let us stop here and let us think about us. Who are we? What was our situation then? Because we are not Israelites, we are Gentiles. We do not have any relationship with God in any way. We do not belong to be the children of God. Because the verses from the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verses 12 says that, remember at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in this world. So this is what our situation was before Jesus Christ came for us. Because during the ancient times, we read in the Bible that Gentiles are prohibited to enter into the God's temple in the Jerusalem. There was a temple in Jerusalem and Gentiles, they are prohibited to enter inside. Only the Jews can go inside and worship the Lord. So the Gentiles have to wait outside near the entrance gate and they have to just wait for the God. But now, if we think that we have a relationship with God, how did this happen? How did we get an opportunity to have a relationship with God? Now we say we have a God, we can pray and we can get all the blessings from him. But how does this all of a sudden happen? We can read from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 33 until 43. So we read here a parable of the tenants. I'm not going to read the complete parable, but I'm just going to read the conclusion of this parable. So here it says, Jesus Christ came for one reason, but that didn't happen. But later on it says, in the verses 43, therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce his fruits. Because when Jesus Christ came, the Jewish people didn't accept him as the Son of God. Because every now and then they were questioning, because they expected a king to come to this world. But that didn't happen because Jesus came and preached the word of God, and he preached about the kingdom of God. Repent and confess your sins and become baptized and get yourselves back to the God. But they didn't do that. So what happened? The kingdom of God was taken away from the Israelites and it was given to us. And that was the only reason we, the Gentiles, got a chance to think about God, to become a children of God. Because we read these verses in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 13 and 18, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, who you once were far away, have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." So it says, through Jesus Christ, we, as well as the Jews or the Israelites, both have the same privilege and same opportunity to go to the Father. Because Jesus Christ has died for us, he has removed all our sins. So, in Christianity, we have this doctrine to be followed. For example, a non-believer or a non-Christian who wants to become a children of God, a child of God, he has to undergo 5 steps, or you can call it as a 5 steps in the complete process. That's what we preach and we teach everyone. So those 5 steps are: hear, that is hear the word, believe in the word, repent for your sins, confess your sins to the Lord, and finally get baptized to become a child of God. So now you are going to be a new man in this world. Because all your sins, all your past, have everything been forgiven, and now you are a very new person in this world. We are not actually talking about the physical appearance or the physical nature, but it's your heart which has been cleansed away from all these sins and everything. So once you have undergone this operation, once you have gone these 5 steps, it seems that your soul, your heart, which was not with God in the past, now it is with God, because all the sins have been erased, have been cleaned away. We read it in the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 4. It says that we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. So now, each and every one of us who were baptized, we have a new life, because our old life has been crucified on the cross along with Jesus, and now we have a new life. Now, after we were baptized, do we have sin along with us? A very important question that we should think of. After we were baptized, do we have the sin along with us? But Bible says as no, you do not have it. In the same book, verses 6 and 7, it says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who died has been freed from sin." So, a person who has gone through all these 5 steps, who has heard the word, who has believed in those words, who has repented for his sins, confessed his sins, and who has baptized, that person has been freed from all sins. He has died for those sins. He cannot live with those sins again, because he has been baptized, he has been cleansed away. So this is the status when a person is baptized. Now we have an important discussion of today's sermon. After we were baptized, do we still commit and live in sin? This is a question that we should ask ourselves, each and every one of us. Do I still commit? Do I still live in sin? Because if we commit sin again and again, sin will rule over us and we will once again be a slave to sin, like how we were in the past, like how we were before the baptism. So that is the situation. We again go back to the previous state. We roll back everything. We were baptized, we were cleansed, we became holy, we have been brought to the church by the God, we were added to the church. But now if we keep on committing sins, we again go back to all those processes and everything is gone, we are still again a sinner. That's what we read in the book of the Romans chapter 6, that it says we are freed from sin. We do not have any sin anymore with us after we were baptized. But now, when we commit sin after we were baptized, what is the solution now? Because initially before baptism we were sinners, yes, and we repented, we confessed our sins, and we believed that okay, through Jesus Christ's blood we can be cleansed away, we can be freed from all sins. Yes, that all were done. Now we were baptized, now we are a child of God, but now we have sin with us. What can be done now to clean this away? Can we get baptized again? Because we know that baptism is a process that can clean away our sins. But can we be baptized once again? You have to think about this for a while. What happens when we commit sin after we were baptized? Bible helps us with certain questions, helps us with an answer to this question. What happens to us when we commit sin after we were baptized? We can read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 4 until 6. It says, "It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, it is impossible to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting Him to public disgrace." Bible doesn't say it is possible that you can return back to your holy state. It doesn't say you can become holy again. But it just says it is impossible to be brought back to repentance. You were baptized once, you have been cleansed once, you have been freed away from sins once. All these things can happen only once. You cannot reinvent it again. You cannot undergo all these processes once again in your life. That's not the way it can be done. So it just says it is impossible to be brought back to repentance. So now we are living in a very difficult situation. We were baptized, we still commit sins and we do not know what to do. But Bible says it is impossible that you can go back. But still what we do? We actually commit sins again and again, daily, every now and then. Sometimes we do it unknowingly, but many times we do it knowingly. We know that we are committing sins, but still we are not able to prevent it. That's how our life is. That's how our environment is. So, what can be done now? This is a very important thing to be learned, and this is what the sermon is about. Where do we stand today? What is our situation now? We were baptized, everything was done, and now we are in a very pitiful situation because we commit sin again and again, and what can be done now? Because Bible says it's impossible that you cannot go back. But we have few answers from the Bible. So that is what we are going to have as a conclusion for today's sermon. I can read three verses from the Bible. The first one is the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 22. The book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 22. If you have some time, you can read this complete chapter from verse 1 until 22, because here it describes about Simon the sorcerer, what he did, how he was, and how he was after he got baptized. It says that he committed sin after he was baptized. He thought that he can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit with his money. He wanted to pay money to the apostles and request so that he can get the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can read from the verse 22. It says Peter actually explains things to Simon, saying that repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. So this is one thing that we can be done. We still commit sins, but when you repent of your sins and pray to God, so he has the authority and he might forgive you. He might forgive your sins now. So this is one incident that we read in this Bible. And the second thing we can read in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verses 5. This chapter is talking about the church in Ephesus. We can read from the first verse. It describes how the church was during the initial days, how it was good and how it didn't accept some ungodly things. But later on, what happened? In verse 5, we read that, remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lamp from its place. Lampstand from its place. So God, actually he reminds the church to repent for his sins. Like during initial days, you were so good, you were very loving to me, like you did everything according to my will, but later on you went far away from that. But please repent yourself and come back to the initial stage. Like what all things you did first, do it again. But if you do not do that, I will come and do whatever I want. So that's the consequence that church will face when it doesn't do what God says. And finally, we can read a last verse today from the book 1 John chapter 1 verses 9. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. It says, it describes about our wonderful Savior. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So now we have a Savior who will lead us, who will do everything according to us. He will forgive us our sins, but all these things happen only when you repent and confess your sins. Only when you repent and don't do it again in your life. So that is how it is. So Bible clearly says that it is impossible. You cannot go back to that holy state. But it can be done in another way, that if you repent and pray for your acceptance, like God might forgive your sins. So as a conclusion, what we have? In the past, we were in sin as a slave to the sin. But then we were baptized into Jesus Christ, freed from the sins forever. But even today, we sometimes keep sinning. It's impossible for us to turn back. But as we read in the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, confess your sins and pray to the God, for he is faithful and forgive us our sins and will purify us from all our unrighteousness. Amen.